Agency owners, it's time for a new episode of the Agency Blueprint, the number one podcast for agency owners looking to build systems to simplify and gain reliable profit growth, while also reducing stress and getting their personal life back. I'm your host, Robert Patton, international bestselling author, agency scale partner, and founder of Creative Agency Success. If you enjoy this episode, do me a favor and hit that subscribe button to make sure that you never miss an episode and help keep the show at the top of the charts so it can be found by more agency owners like you. And now for the show. Everyone, so we've spoken many times, and even in this season, about financial things. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about, and one of the easiest ways to raise profitability, is to raise your rates, right? It's one of the easiest mechanisms that you can ultimately take. And I wanted to approach the conversation, Darren and I wanted to approach the conversation a little bit differently today to talk about how to raise your profit margins without raising rates. Because sure, raising rates will absolutely increase profitability, should at least, not in every scenario, but most scenarios will increase your profitability. However, not all agencies have this as an easy mechanism for them to be able to do, because increasing your rates ultimately may have limitations to the market that you're serving. There may be limitations to your ability to be able to sell at that higher rate. And it just creates for a lot of tension in needing to raise your rates in the first place. So yes, raising your rates can have that impact, but I want to talk about the mechanisms that you have that are outside of raising rates that allow for you to be able to achieve higher profitability, and the constraints around it, the considerations that you need to be making, and all of that, that allow for you to be able to break down where you're potentially overspending, where you're underspending, and how that actually functions so that you can have the most efficient agency possible, allowing for you to be able to have more take home in your business today. So the first piece that I want to hit is the piece that I see ultimately happen is that the vast majority of financial statements that I first look at is they're in shambles.
Terrible. That is my biggest pet peeve. How am I going to know what you are spending your money on if you can't put everything in the right place or in a place where it's organized and I can tell, like, okay, these are all the things that are your office expenses, these are all the things that are your employees' expenses, and a nice way that is very easily readable, right? Mm-hmm. That is my biggest pet peeve. Sorry, I just kind of jumped out there because that is such a pet peeve.
I definitely do not enjoy it either. I don't know that it's my biggest pet peeve. I've got others, but it's definitely frustrating because it becomes very difficult to be able to derive any value out of your financial statement. And nerdy nerd accountant here, but being able to look at a financial statement and being able to read it like a story of what ultimately is happening and being able to ask questions of the data that's being presented to me that allows for me to understand exactly what's going on, benchmarking information, understanding exactly what's happening, where you're spending your money, why you're unprofitable. Are you unprofitable because you're taking home a huge amount of compensation, which, okay, fine, cool. I'm okay with that. And that you're getting the benefit out of your business. And that's all right. There's loads of different categories that ultimately really have meaningful impact. But the first piece is just base foundational structure that allows for you to have clean financials that allow for you to understand. But the vast majority of agencies are overspending because they have no visibility into their financial statements. They have zero understanding. And so they continue to spend based on feeling. They continue to hire based on an assumption. They don't have any clear guidance in ultimately what they should be doing. And so they are too heavily investing, with big air quotes, in what they're doing. And it has negative profitability impacts because they just have no mechanism to understand where they should be spending their money. They don't know how much it's costing them to deliver work. They have no idea, even from a general perspective. I mean, there's many that don't understand where their money's going. You know, hey, I brought in $200,000 last month and I have nothing to show for it. Why? And well, your financial statement, if it was clear, would allow for you to be able to do that.
Definitely. Right. And it's very easy. And I like how you put it. It just tells a story. Right. And so if everything's correctly labeled in the right place, it's very easy to look at a financial statement and say, oh, you spent 30% of your revenue on office expenses. Maybe we should take a look at that. Or like, mm-hmm. let's investigate further in these different areas, because these are the ones that are sticking out like a sore thumb. Oh, did you know you're still subscribed to these 14 different softwares and you only use one of them? Like, it's very simple to see once you put it into perspective of, hey, like, I have a feeling, but this is what the actual numbers are telling me. So let me go with it, what the numbers are actually saying. Even though I know a lot of creators will have that like intuition, it's just, no, the actual facts are saying that this is what's going on in your business right now.
I feel a little called out though at the moment, considering like in the business, I definitely watch subscriptions and expenses and stuff because I'm looking at financial statements. Personally, I don't do the same. And Tom, at one point, my husband went through to look at our subscriptions and was like, we have $770-some-odd worth of subscriptions of stuff that we do not use every month. Oh my God, Robert, Jesus. All right. You're not a cobbler's kids in no shoes. Anyways, so there's a couple of categories. There's two primary categories ultimately, and I want to break them down into like broad strokes, and then we can dive a bit deeper into it, the considerations that we want to be making. So the first piece is delivery cost, the cost of your billable team members. The second bucket is operational cost, the cost of operating the business that is non-billable, administrative, just supporting your business function. So let's go into the biggest expense piece, generally speaking, is your cost of delivery. One of the biggest pieces that most people do not consider that becomes a problem here is understanding your underutilized time and how much you're ultimately spending in underutilized time. What is the actual correspondence of percentage of your revenue that you're spending in payroll for your delivery team? And if you're not at least at a 50% margin gross profitability, if you were to take your revenue minus all of the cost of your contractors, minus the cost of your payroll that are only the people that are delivering work, cost of creative software, et cetera, and you're not at 50%, you have a problem. And the problems generally are, I'm either overpaying my team, I've got team members that I don't need, I've got team members that are underutilized, I've got teams that I'm over-delivering on the work that we currently have, so there's a tremendous amount of scope creep and we're not getting any additional compensation, or you've got just people mismanaging budgets and not taking a look at them and understanding how much they should be spending, and don't have clear apparatus by which to manage it. And so those are the three typical things that you ultimately end up seeing. The third, which then the last, is that you're not pricing correctly, but we're not talking about increasing pricing on this episode, which there's loads of episodes that we have on the podcast that you can check out about specifically how to go about doing that. So I would be looking at your financial statement to understand exactly what that looks like. And if you're not hitting that benchmark, you have a problem. And that is one of the predominant areas that you need to be looking at, is how do you solve for that? Is it, I've got a load of people that are sitting around twiddling their thumbs, and I'm the one holding on a lot of the work, and I'm a block in the funnel, I need to pass it along. Am I overpaying people? Do I have redundancy that I do not need, that I can ultimately end up trimming some fat and cost? Because your biggest cost center is your cost of delivery. 50% typically, or more, for agencies that are operating inefficiently, is being spent 50 cents of every dollar. Then operationally, generally in just the totality, if you're spending more than 25 to 30% of revenue, so 25 cents to 30 cents on every dollar you're spending in operational costs, and that just broad strokes definition is going to be your insurance, your rents, your utilities, your administrative softwares like your email subscriptions and your office supplies, your those sorts of things that go into the base kind of maintenance of the business, internet, all of those pieces, is recognizing where am I spending those dollars. Generally speaking, I like to look at them in a couple of buckets. First is the general administrative, that's insurance, that sort of stuff, that it's like the cost of generally doing business that for the vast majority of the time kind of stays stagnant, professional fees, all of that. Then your human resources and administrative compensation, benefits, cost of insurance for employment, your administrative team, contractors that are also administrative as well. And then your cost of occupancy or your office cost, the cost that it actually takes for you to have a physical office. And then the last is your sales and marketing, and understanding what the benchmarks are there and how much am I currently spending in each one of those buckets to understand where am I out of gamut, and really understanding what that looks like and understanding exactly how you're able to constrain those costs. So once you understand and have those broken down into those buckets, you can start to ask questions of, you know, hey, I'm spending 14, 18, 20% in administrative costs. Why? What do I need all this support for the business? Is there something going on that I should be trimming? Is there a process that I do not need? Is there over-creation of systems that I've done in the business that are ultimately just bigger than what I need to be doing? And allows for you to see where you're out of gamut and focus your attention where there's true impact to be had.
So actionably, how would you go about, let's say that I have a team where I have a lot of them who are, let's say I'll say we're at that 50% utilization, and we have a couple of people who are at that 80% utilization rate. And so it's just like an average of 50%, right? So some are super overutilized, some are underutilized. How would I go about course correcting now that I know that I have team members who are twiddling their thumbs, as you said, and I have team members who are working double shifts on a single shift job? Like how would you go about course correcting and making sure that, I mean, because I feel like it's difficult once you hire these people on and they've been with you for a long time And is it just the type of jobs that they're in? Do I need to reconfigure them to different places? Or how would you go about making sure that I'm able to effectively get the best out of my team?
Well, it's a little difficult to fully describe without having a system in front of you. But largely what I would say is that the easiest way to go about it is to have a resource management tool. So like a Run or a Forecast or one of those platforms that allows for you to be able to build out exactly where your team's attention is going and which projects they're currently managing and which clients they're currently managing. So you can see exactly where their time is going and what are the budgets associated with it. So in your description, you have someone that is 80% utilized, but is that actual utilization or are they over delivering on work? So if I needed them to complete this project in 10 hours, but they ended up taking 30, that's not true utilization from a billable perspective. I'm only able to bill 10 hours and they're working 30. So I'm paying for 20 hours worth of work that I'm not able to bill to the client. So that's one of the first things that I'd want to look at, because utilization, while I think it's an important metric, it can lead you in the wrong direction, because mm-hmm. sometimes there's people that are just incredibly efficient about what they do. And so it shows them as 50% utilized because they're able to just be more efficient in what it is that they're doing. So that might actually be some of your highest performing team members because they're working the most effectively. And so understanding what is the actual bill rate that you have for each person, and then what is the amount of revenue that I'm generating by each individual based on the work that they're actually performing and that we have budgeted for each one of these projects. Once I have that built out, you can do it as simply in just like an Excel document as well. If here's the projects that they're working on, here's the amount of hours that I have allocated to each individual. How much am I actually able to derive out of each person? And then starting to look at layering on after that is that I have these people that bona fide. And let's say that in the example is not what I just described, is that the person that's 80% utilized is inefficient. The person that's 50% utilized is really efficient. And let's say that it's different and that the person that is 80% utilized is the high achiever and the person that's 50%. There's a couple of pieces. Either I didn't give them enough work and that's my responsibility, or two, they're just not wanting to engage as much and they're letting their colleague suffer and doing their work for them. The way that I would want to go about that is understanding, well, where are my redundancies now? So if I've got, three account coordinators that are on my team, or I've got a load of community management people from a social media perspective, can I combine roles? Can I look at the aptitude of what someone ultimately has? And can I reduce the cost that I currently have to take two people? So let's say that I've got three people that are 50% utilized, so a total of 150% utilization. If I were to take those two roles, then I've got two people that are 75% utilized. Is that possible? And I've saved 33% of total cost, assuming that they're all equally compensated. So I just saved largely probably a fairly substantial amount of compensation throughout the course of the year. Now, the other consideration that I would also want to make there too is, do I have a substantial amount of deals in the pipeline that I'm actually just in this kind of lull of revenue and then I'm going to have it come in later? So then considering that component as well, is that am I looking to grow and that I actually need to maintain this for a moment, not with this like overly optimistic that at some point I'm going to have the clouds are going to open and the sun's going to shine and then everything's going to be grand and perfect, like an actual true realistic conservative opinion of what is ultimately coming across the pipeline into actual revenue that's going to convert. And so then taking that calculus into account as well.
Okay, definitely makes sense. I didn't see it from the perspective of somebody being underutilized in air quotes because they're actually more efficient. Okay, I like that approach. Would you then see, I guess, one of the things that I was thinking of in your approach is like, would I then just hire a subcontractor to do the full deliverable instead of having, the underutilized person based off of kind of the amount of time?
Maybe. So there's pros and cons, really, to that for several reasons. I mean, even just from a legality perspective, you're not allowed to control the work that's being done by a subcontractor as much. And that is slowly being constrained more and more in the US. Contractors, generally speaking, tend to be more expensive unless you've got a truly ineffective or inefficient team member. Contractors are great when you don't actually need a full-time role. So if you have someone that is 50% utilized, it's going to be cheaper to bring on a contractor because you just haven't fulfilled the amount of work that you have for that individual. And generally speaking, if you're below 60, 65%, you're in a bit of a problem area from a utilization perspective. The piece that's the downside of the contractors, you don't have the control. Employees are able to, you're able to dictate the way that they function. So it's just understanding the model by which you operate. I would say that I don't want to detract from the idea of using contractors. I think that contractors for agencies are vital. It's a vital component to the growth model for the vast majority of agencies. But I also want to caution that contractors also come with nuance and some problems themselves as well.
And then how would you look at it from the perspective of one other thing that I was thinking about is just in order to as well make your profitability better, take a look at the profitability of each job, I think is definitely going to be vital, because you can have certain people spending too much time on these types of different jobs and it's actually just pulling down your entire business because you're draining resources and trying to deliver something in which you may not have the most efficient way or model to service that.
Yeah. I mean, to me, numbers are numbers, right? Math just creates for a lot of clarity in what's going on. And I would say what Darren's pointing out is really important. And then if you're looking at, hey, you know, here's the amount of hours that it's taking for us to activate and complete this work. And so let's say that I'm on average for this particular client or this particular project, I'm doing $100 an hour, but it costs me $125 to operate the business across the board with the total hours from an average hourly earning perspective. So that means that in theory, when you consider your operational load and everything, that it's costing me $25 an hour per hour that I work on this account, this project, it doesn't make sense really. And you need to recognize that that is a problem area. And so there's multiple things that you could potentially do in that scenario. Is the first question I would ask is there a thing that we are doing that is out of scope that we shouldn't be doing that I can constrain and stop doing? Two, have I created for a process that is creating for duplication? There's an inefficiency. What I often find, and there's an interesting discussion that was had with a client recently around the idea of moving more time to the upfront of a project, which I generally agree with anyways, bringing more time to the upfront of the project, allowing for senior leadership to invest higher time, a higher amount of time at the beginning of the project. And what they did find is what I had hypothesized anyways, was that you invest more time at the upfront, you end up having the project end up closer to budget or more on budget, more profitable in the end, by actually setting up the team appropriately to begin with. And so what are the inefficiencies that you ultimately had? And the other thing that I would say is there's likely a lot of room for improvement from a technology administrative burden on the project that you can ultimately refine and improve upon there as well to allow for you to be able to make those changes. But what I would say is that don't go into it with this like idea that we're just going to be faster. Like, we're just going to do this faster. Like, I see that I'm going over budget on these projects by 50 hours for every single one, and I'm just going to be faster. We're just going to be faster. We can just do it faster. We shouldn't take that long. And it's like, okay. Like, at the best case scenario, with like the most really detailed apparatus to make things more efficient, like at the best case scenario, you're going to be 20, 30% more effective. And that takes a long time to get there.
What are some other like challenges or things that people should be looking out for when they're looking to be more efficient?
I would also say that one other thing outside of the efficiency piece, right, is that the other thing that is more around constraining the expense is that I would just really, truly do an audit of where your money's going. How much money am I spending in payroll? How much money am I spending here? Just going down a detailed ledger, even if it's, hey, I'm going to export my bank statement and I'm going to just look at an Excel document of it all, or even just printed out bank statements and I'm just going to look at where my money's ultimately going. And categorizing it to understand exactly what's happening. And do you need it every single thing? I forget what's the feeling of joy with all the products and the things in someone's home. There's a woman that does a Netflix documentary that's specifically around like going through your home and actually having more minimalistic kind of peace, and like doing the same thing essentially with your finances and looking through, is like, is this actually truly needed? Yes or no? And how can I eliminate more and more that allows for me to be profitable without cutting too deep? And my opinion is that if your business is not at least at a 20% net profitability, there's changes that need to be made, allowing for you to be able to be better. And while you're going through these changes, I would say that you want to be careful with making too many changes too fast. You want to be careful with the resistance that your team may have to change. You want to be careful with trying to over-optimize and cutting costs too aggressively, too quickly, that can harm quality and team morale. And making sure that you're revisiting these budgets over time, these metrics, and ensuring that you're making improvement over time and that you're really watching these metrics. And boosting profitability doesn't always have to mean that you're raising rates. And by aligning your delivery, aligning your operational expenses, aligning exactly how you are looking at the financial function of your business can have a whole lot of meaningful impact. I mean, my belief system largely is that you as a business owner are taking on an inordinate amount of risk owning a business. You've taken on the responsibility of making sure that your team members are paid. You've taken on the responsibility of making sure that the work ultimately gets delivered to clients. And there's a lot of risk that you've assumed. And if you're not getting the appropriate remuneration for that in the end, what's the point? What is the reason why you are thinking about your business while you're walking your dog? What is the reason why you then have these passive pieces of work that are embedding itself into your personal life that you can ultimately let go of if you're not going to get that added benefit from owning the business? And so my hope for you, each one of you listening, is that you can improve your profitability by looking at where your money's going and allow for you to get a greater amount of profit in your pocket and ultimately build some more. Everyone, thank you so much for listening in today. With all of the shifts in the industry, it is easy to feel overwhelmed or unsure of your next move. So I'm not here to try to sell you anything. I just want to give back and guide you through the uncertainty. Whether you're navigating new trends or just need some clarity, we're here to listen and offer advice. Head to creativeagencysuccess.com/chat to book a free 15-minute chat with an agency mentor who can provide you with a fresh perspective. Let's figure out the best steps for your agency's growth together.